Good morning. We'll give just a few seconds to see if some people will join us here this morning for our Bible study together. So we'll give it just a little bit as we've gone live, give some people opportunity to jump on. Hopefully you will, and share in the study this morning. We're going to be in the book of Romans to start with. So I see that we've got someone who just came on, so we'll continue. To wait just a little bit. The start time was 9:30 this morning, so we're right there at that. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to the book of Romans in chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to teach on a simple message this morning titled, Have You Believed the Gospel of Your Salvation? And so I've been on a little bit of a quest lately to do more teachings around the gospel, Paul's gospel, the gospel that saves today, the only gospel that'll save you today. So I've been on a quest recently to touch on the gospel more and more and more, because what I'm understanding and have had the understanding of for quite some time, very few people have been taught in their denominational venues and churches that Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles with the gospel to us that will save us during this dispensation of the grace of God. And so many are taught that you can go basically anywhere in the Bible and just believe generic one-line type salvation verses for salvation. And that's not so. The Lord gave us a specific gospel in order to believe during the dispensation of the grace of God, so that when we die, we can go to heaven. And that's based on his work and not our work. So if you will, go with me to the book of Romans. And we're going to achieve a couple things by looking at some verses. You're going to see some familiar verses. Most of this is going to be refreshers for the people who come to our Bible study group and join us on Sunday mornings. It's going to be a refresher for you, but I'm hoping that you can share it with someone else, just in light of it being the gospel. The most important thing in all the Bible is for a person to believe the gospel, how that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and he rose again the third day. But go with me to the book of Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 14, and I'll explain why we're starting there in just a second. I want to try to keep the reading within a time frame, but go with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul makes three I am statements here in these preceding verses, so watch closely. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So go back and look at verse 14, look at verse 15, and look at verse 16. Paul makes three I am statements. In verse 14, he says, I am debtor. In verse 15, he says, I am ready. In verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed. All right, so in verse 16, if we break that verse down, the Apostle Paul writes, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and very important, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does one thing, and that is believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So here's why Paul is writing to Rome, the way he's writing to Rome. Go back and look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Turn there in 9 of Acts and verse 15. 9 and 15 of Acts. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, that's Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul has now been commissioned by the risen, ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to take this grace gospel that's delivered unto him and take it to all the world, all right? So I want you to see this when Paul talks about in Scripture, He names it my gospel. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 16. And we're going to come back and get our baseline for study. But look at 2:16 of Romans. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Notice that. All right. Paul's not egotistical. Paul is calling it his gospel because he received it directly by revelation of Jesus Christ to take to all the world. All right? So it's Paul's gospel. Go to Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Notice that. Paul again says my gospel. Now go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And for all you who have joined us this morning on Facebook Live, thank you for doing so. We elected not to have Bible study this week as a group and joining there at the assembly. Instead, we elected to do this video so that people could have their time with families and whatever they chose to do over the last few days. But go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 8. The third time Paul uses this phrase. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Very specific that Paul is making this gospel. And we're shown why in the book of Galatians. If you go there with me, book of Galatians. And chapter 1 will show you why Paul makes it so personal to be in his gospel. Understand, Paul did not die for your sins. Paul did not shed his blood for you. It would have done no good. Paul himself was a sinner. He needed salvation, and God saved him. God apprehended him on the road to Damascus. So we're not teaching that Paul is your Savior. What we're teaching you is what the Bible teaches you is Paul is your apostle. And Paul was given a gospel for this dispensation to preach unto all the world that they, by belief, by faith, could be saved through the message delivered unto him. So go with me to Galatians in chapter 1 and look at verse 11. Paul writes by inspiration of the Spirit here. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's obvious, if you study the Bible and you believe the Bible, that Paul got his gospel after Christ had risen and ascended back to glory. He, by revelation, gives unto Paul this gospel. So back where we started in Romans in chapter 1, I want to look at verse 16 closely, and then we're going to kind of start the trail to show several things. We're going to show the gospel of Christ. We're going to show the power of God. We're going to show where the power of God is in the gospel. And then we're going to show the salvation of God to lost people. And there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be saved, folks. And there's only one gospel that's going to save you today. It's not repenting and turning from your sins. It's not being water baptized. It's not joining a church. It's not doing good work. It's none of that stuff. You believe by faith what God has given you to believe by faith, and that's going to save your never-dying soul if you do according to God has instructed you in the Scripture. Look at verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. All right, we have the gospel there. For it is the power, the gospel is the power of God. Now, unto what? Unto salvation. When he says unto salvation, he's not talking about saving you from your physical enemies. He's talking about saving you from the punishment of sin. Because the Bible is clear in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in essence, okay, scripturally speaking, the facts are that you and I had a debt that we couldn't pay. If we died without Christ, we died without this good news, then our home would have been hell, eternal. All right? But God himself came down into a virgin womb, took on the form of flesh of simple man, went to a cross, crucified sin in the flesh, was buried with sin, raised without sin, to justify you freely if you will believe the gospel that the Apostle Paul is writing of, who preached it to all the world, as he said in the book of Colossians in chapter 1. If you believe that gospel, then you will go to heaven when you die. It's as basic as that. All right? It's not about your good conduct. It's not about a good attitude, although we should have all those things as a result of believing. But those things will not save you. Those things are things that you can do. What you could not do is you couldn't pay for your sin debt. And throughout time, man has been doing everything out of himself that he could possibly drum up to do to deal with his sin. And God wants you to understand that he's already dealt with your sin. He's already dealt with your sin on the cross of Christ. He dealt with your sin. What he wants you to do is to believe the gospel and trust Christ as your Savior. Now listen, this sounds so basic, but there's so many people who have been taught so many different things about how to go to heaven. Live a good, clean life. Folks, you cannot live clean enough to go to heaven. The Bible expressly speaks in the book of Romans in chapter 3 that every man is a sinner. Chapter 2, there's none good, no, not one. You have nothing good in you to offer God. The Bible says he died for you while you were yet a sinner. In due time, God died for the ungodly. You were an enemy of the cross. You did nothing to improve for God to love you or to save you. God's love, God's grace is to undeserving sinners. He did the work for us that we might believe on him, and by believing on him have salvation through his finished cross work. And I'll say this without apology. Any man that's teaching you that he is preaching the gospel and he is not making the finished cross work of Jesus Christ the focal point, the emphasis, and the work that Christ did on the cross when he died there for your sins, then that man is not trustworthy. He's not trustworthy to be your preacher, teacher, or pastor. You need to flee that man. And you need to get to someone who is teaching the Bible, rightly divided, telling you how to be saved. Because the most important thing that we do in this life is not where we go to school. It's not where we work. It's not how much money we have in our bank account. It's not how much land we own. But it's whether or not we have trusted what the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe the gospel and trusted him as our Savior and rest in that salvation. That's the most important thing. If you've got those other things, then more power to you. But I'm telling you, the most powerful thing that you can do is to know where your never dying soul is going to spend eternity. And God does not leave that to be subjective. He gives you the answer in the Word of God. You must know where to go to find it in the Word of God. So what's happened is over time, men have generically built in gospel cliches. They've generically pulled verses out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they've drug them over into Paul's writings, and they've got one-line salvation verses that they want you to be saved by. And those, I'm sorry, they don't have the power to save you. It's the gospel of Christ that has the power to save you. All right, now you're either going to do one of two things when you hear a message like this. Your friends, your family members, they're going to do one of two things. They hear a message this clear about the gospel, they're either going to believe it or they're going to reject it. Now what we pray is they believe it. At least we plant a seed, and at some point in life, that seed, somebody else comes along and waters, and it takes root, and they believe the gospel of their salvation. So what I want to show you here in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, if there's the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, okay? It's not about you doing good. Trust me, I want you to do good. We should desire to do good, okay? But that's all subjective as well, okay? If we're not in the doctrine of the Word of God correctly, our good is just what we're generating out of our own flesh. What we need to be doctrinally sound, as we've been teaching a series of messages about walking worthy, we need the Spirit producing the good things in us, the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not us, okay? We've got nothing in our flesh that's good, the Apostle Paul writes. All right, so watch here in this gospel. If we know that there's a gospel, and Paul is preaching it, and he says, I'm not ashamed of it, then if we determine what the gospel is, and we can show that clearly, we give someone today an opportunity to make a decision for all eternity. If we fail to do that, then basically we're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. All right? We're nothing. If out of love and out of being constrained by the love of Christ to show others how to be saved, if we're not doing that, then we're failures. So our job is to deliver the gospel, to tell people how to go to heaven when they die. Okay? And tell them that it's not something that they can generate. It's not something they can do. It's already been done for us. Go back to the book of Galatians, and we're going to start to look at this gospel that the Apostle Paul is writing of, the gospel that will save you today. See, I have friends, and I even have some family members, that believe that you get saved when you begin to do good. You get saved by confessing this or doing that. You get saved by praying. You get saved by going to an altar, shedding tears. And none of that stuff is found in the Bible. What I'm going to show you in the Bible is facts. It's Bible facts. It's scripture. It's God inspired. I'm not going to give you a man's way to be saved. I'm going to give you God's way to be saved. So go with me to the book of Galatians in chapter 1. And watch what Paul says to these Galatians. Verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Now notice the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So in Romans, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Here he says, it's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of Christ. Okay? Watch again. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. The grace of Christ is the gospel today. And what does that gospel teach us? Well, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, most of you have seen this, but when you're talking to people who are going to denominational churches, a lot of them never seen it. I know deacons, I know men who are on boards of so-so churches that you share it with them and they have no clue. They don't know. They believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and they say that's the gospel. Well, no, that's true. Absolutely true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. But that's not the gospel. Your gospel is found right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Watch here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Notice that. Ye are saved. What did Paul say that the gospel had the power to do in Romans 1 and 16? It had the power of salvation. Paul says here, by your saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now watch what he does, and he lays out the gospel as clear as you could possibly lay it out. You'll not find it this clear anywhere else in the Bible. Right here it is in a nutshell. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Add nothing to it. Take nothing away from it. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The grace of Christ was him dying for ungodly sinners, his enemies, shedding his lifeblood on a cross, being buried with our sin, raised without our sin. That's the gospel. That's the good news that Paul is preaching. That's the good news that we need to tell people of today. It's not about them. It's not about what they can do. It's not about what they turn from. It's about believing something. Wholeheartedly believing by faith that Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross. And that in itself has the power to save them if they'll believe it by faith and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. See, many people, they get sensationalism in them, and they begin to believe that salvation is evident by a feeling. It's evident by something that happens in their flesh. It's evident by something that makes them feel a certain way. Salvation is evident by the Scripture. It's believing what God has said. That's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what God has said to us through the Apostle Paul for this dispensation of grace, that we, as those who were Gentiles in time past, who had no hope, had no covenants, had no promise without God in the world, that we today, by faith in Jesus Christ's finished cross work, can be saved if we believe the gospel. All right? Chapter 1 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Watch what Paul says. He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect." Two things in that verse can make the cross of none effect. One is water baptism, and the other one is wisdom of words. Now watch what Paul says in verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." What did Paul say again that it had the power to do in Romans 1 and 16? He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Those of us which have been saved by believing the gospel of grace, we've received the power of God unto salvation. It's an amazing thing. All right, look with me in Romans chapter 16 again and verse 25, the same verse. Romans 16, 25. Watch the word power here. It has the power to save you. The gospel of grace has the power to save you. Watch here in verse 25. "Now to him is power to establish you according to my gospel." It has the power to establish you, to make you stable, to make you immovable, to firmly fix you. It has the power to do that. And of course, it requires the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. But I wanted you to see the power there. Understand that the gospel delivered unto Paul is powerful. It's powerful enough to save the worst of all sinners. It's powerful enough to save the world if they would believe by faith what Jesus Christ accomplished when he died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again the third day. It saved the world. But see, what the world is getting, they're getting gospels from men. Men who are giving them cliches. "Follow me in this prayer. Come down to an altar. Say I'm sorry for this. Do A, do B, do C." All the stuff that if you really go and read the Bible and study, you don't even find it in the scripture. What we're giving you today is the power unto salvation if you'll believe it. It's about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. It's about what you couldn't do for yourself. And by believing this gospel, you're saved, eternally saved. Go with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and look at verse 22. And watch this, as Paul says in verse 22. "For the Jews require a sign," 1 Corinthians 1 and 22. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." Watch 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." See, man thinks the simple message of Christ dying on the cross, being buried and raised again, he thinks that's foolish. There's no way that could save me without my own human effort. There's no way that I could be saved without me contributing something. Well, you did contribute something. Go back and read the book of Romans, chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5. You were the sinner. That's what you brought to the table. You brought nothing but vile, stinking, rotten flesh to the table. But God Almighty, through his grace and through his mercy and through his power of what he did through his son on the cross, brought unto you salvation that you could be saved even though you are rotten, low down, and no good, you could be saved. See, God did everything it would take for your never dying soul to be saved and sealed for all eternity through the simple message of the gospel found in the word of God. It's not found in a church denominational ordinance. It's not found in some constitutional bylaw. It's not found in something that man has set down and written up that in order to be a member of the church, you must be baptized in water. Yeah, there was a time in time past where baptism, water baptism, was very important to the nation of Israel. That's Bible. But you got to learn to rightly divide the Bible and understand what we have today is spiritual. What Israel had was a physical ordinance. What we have is a spiritual baptism accomplished by God Almighty, the operation of God. All right? So the power of God is in the cross of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 And it's not in the wisdom of man. The television evangelist, the radio evangelist, those men with wisdom of words have misled more people and drug them away from the gospel that saves and got them believing that there's some type of miraculous thing that they must do and they must feel something and they must begin to do something or else they're not saved. It's simply by believing, by faith. What's here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but it's in the power of God. Now, we've been discussing the power of God. The power of God is in the cross of Christ, absolutely in the cross of Christ. Watch what Paul does in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. No one in your Bible preaches the cross as does the Apostle Paul. Go back and, you know, homework for some people who believe that their salvation message is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go back and find me one verse where anybody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for your justification. You'll not find it. I'll save you time. You won't find it. Nobody preaches the cross like the Apostle Paul. And there's a purpose for that, folks, because what was taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was through a prophetic vehicle of Israel. Israel was to receive the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they were to take that out to the world. We know that didn't happen. We know that Israel fell. And we know that through their fall, salvation came unto the Gentiles. Pardon me while I get a drink of coffee here. So look here in Galatians chapter 6 and watch Paul's stance on the cross. 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now Paul made that statement by inspiration of the Spirit because there were people in Galatia that had been drugged back glorying in their flesh. The flesh, the circumcised flesh, they were glorying that. But Paul said, that's done. Watch what he does in 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So Paul was teaching these Galatians, you've been bewitched. I marvel that you've been removed from the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another gospel. And you're wanting the glory in your flesh as something you can do. Paul said, God forbid that I glory in anything, say the cross of Jesus Christ. Folks, you're either resting in the cross or you're opposing the cross. You either believe that Jesus Christ did everything that God said he did, that he wrote that he did, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again for your justification, or you don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you're not saved. And that's not me telling you that. That's the word of God telling you that. That is the way to go to heaven. Have you believed the gospel of your salvation? It's extremely important. It's the most important decision any person could ever make. And we've already covered that. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. Talking about this gospel of your salvation. And then we'll cap off on two or three points as we finish up this morning. But go here with me to Ephesians. And verse 12 of chapter 1. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Watch. And whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who delivered that message? The Apostle Paul. Look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. Look at verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. All right? So Paul gave us this grace message. Paul gave us this gospel. That's why he said, my gospel. He received it of Jesus Christ by revelation of Jesus Christ. When you understand this, you become established. And I honestly believe when you get to the place of understanding, believing the gospel that saves you, and then you begin to study the doctrine of the gospel, it's just you can't be moved off of it. I just don't believe somebody could come along and tell me or you that have believed this gospel, we understand Paul's message and the message of grace, that now we need to go be water baptized. I just don't. I'm removed from all that because I have learned through scripture, through doctrine, what Christ did for me on the cross. and I'll not spit on the cross to go be water baptized, to have anyone to dunk me in water, because I firmly believe everything that Christ did, I'm completed in him. Go to Colossians in chapter 2. I'm completed in Christ, put there by the Spirit once I believe, and completed in him, I need nothing. He did it all for me. What's your in chapter 2 of Colossians? Look at verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You can't add anything to completeness. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's spiritual. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's what he accomplished on the cross. When God put him there in the form of sin, even though he knew no sin, he became sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Buried with him in baptism. That's a spiritual baptism. Has nothing to do with water. It's not one molecule there. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. We're placed by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherein also you're risen with him through the faith. What? It's through the faith and the operation of God who have raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, having quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, and he did what with it? He nailed it to his cross. There is the power of God, is in the cross of Jesus Christ. You leave the cross and the finished cross work of Jesus Christ, you're leaving the gospel message that will save you. When you leave the finished cross work of Jesus Christ, you're denying the power of God to save you. That's what Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Make no bones about it. It's the only way, and it's the only gospel that will save you today. You either believe it, you receive it by faith, or you won't. And listen, for you to sit under a message like this, not the messenger, but the message, and you hear clearly what God has said about your never-dying soul and what you must do to go to heaven, you're without excuse, and you are anyway. God would be justifiable if he took and dumped us all into hell a long time ago. He would have been justified in doing so. But no, because of his grace, because of his mercy, in that he loved us while we were yet sinners, he chose to die for us. Folks, it's plain and simple. The gospel of Jesus Christ for you today to believe is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Look with me here about that same gospel in the book of Romans in chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, what you're going to find out when you begin to share books and scriptures and passages like this with your loved ones, with your friends, what you're going to find out, most of them go to churches who have never made it out of the four gospels. These verses, a lot of times, they've never seen them. And even if they have seen them, it's been vague. They've been skipped over. And I know that from experience. So I'm not talking here as somebody as a greenhorn. I know. I've been there and done that. All right? I was in those assemblies. I taught in those assemblies. Okay? I know what they teach. Okay? And I know what they don't teach. Folks, they skip over the gospel to the Savior today. They preach a generic gospel because they preach one-line salvation verses. They don't preach 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. All right? Look here. And he's talking about imputed righteousness here. He's using Abraham as the example in Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 24. He said, for us also to whom it shall be imputed. He's talking about the righteousness of God being imputed to us, righteousness of Christ. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now watch the next verse. Whom was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for what? Our justification. Can you see it? Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection. Him shedding his blood for the sin payment of the world is all it takes to be saved. That's it. That's simple. In your homework, go find that message in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right? You have the church Facebook page. When you find someone in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the message was delivered unto them, that Christ was dying for their sins, buried and raised again. That's what they believe for salvation. Send me the verse through Facebook, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, okay? Send me the verse through Facebook where they believe that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. It's not going to happen. All right? If it were so that people in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were believing that, then the Bible cannot be believed. Because I'm going to show you one verse concerning that. Luke chapter 18. I'm going to show you one verse. There's multiple, but I'm going to show you one that's the clearest of them all. Luke chapter 18. And these preachers in denominational churches are preaching to you salvation, Israel's time past salvation. They're teaching and preaching to you the gospel of the kingdom, which has been suspended. It will be preached again after the church, the body of Christ, is taken out. But it's not to be preached today for salvation. It won't save anybody. Look here at Luke chapter 18, talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. This is what the 12 apostles knew about it. Look at verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and he shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. There's your death, there's your burial, there's your resurrection. Here's what Peter and the others knew about it. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now they have already been preaching the gospel of the kingdom several chapters before you get to chapter 18, and they know nothing about Jesus Christ dying, being buried, and raised again. If that's not enough for a duh-huh moment, go to Luke chapter 24, start reading in verse 1, and read all the way up to verse 11, and see what the apostles knew when Mary and Mary Magdalene went down to the sepulcher. Christ wasn't there, came back and told the apostles, and they said he looked at them as if it were idle tales and believed them not. They had no clue that he was rising on the third day. Even though he had spoken it to them, they didn't have faith, they didn't believe it. It was hid from them in Luke chapter 18. Now, you've got pastors, preachers, teachers with pedigree, large assemblies teaching people today they can be saved out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You cannot be. Don't be deceived. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul's the one who delivered unto you your gospel of grace. Now, whether you like that or not, I can't help it. But that's what God chose to do. He chose Paul as the vessel to bring to you and I, the barbarians, the Gentiles that way afar off, who had no hope, no promise, to give us the gospel of grace. Believe it, receive it by faith, it'll save you. Reject it, you'll be lost. There's folks, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. There's only two places you can be. All right? So in closing today, I want to hit 4 points. Paul hit 3 of them in that one verse in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He said the gospel of Christ was the power of God unto salvation. Okay? We said what? We needed to find out what that message was. Well, it's the gospel of grace, and it's the preaching of the cross. That's where the power is at. These men who are preaching, follow after me, say this prayer, and they're not preaching. They're not teaching the cross of Jesus Christ, that finished cross work, being everything inclusive to your salvation. They're misleading you. They're misleading your family. They're misleading your friends. They're deceptive, okay? Maybe they're not doing it intentionally, all right? But the results are the same. Ignorance is ignorance, and that just means lack of knowledge. There was a time when I did not have the knowledge that I have after learning something about right and the divide and the word of truth. But thanks be unto God for a man by the name of Les Feldick, that I heard the truth. And by hearing from Les Feldick the truth, it put me to studying because I knew that he was touching on the things that I was missing. I knew that he was speaking truth because he was showing it through the Word of God. And from there, I began to listen to others, such as Steve Atwood, Pastor Richard Jordan. Many others have I listened to. Justin Johnson. Many others have I listened to. And it's brought light. It's been life-transforming for me. But folks, it all started when those men taught you the gospel clearly, correctly, that you can be saved by it, and you begin to see the truth. Once you have believed the gospel of your salvation, the light comes on. Now you can come to the knowledge of truth. Many of us were saved. We had already been saved and sealed, but we were in error in our beliefs, doctrinally speaking. So with that being said, Paul said it's the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of grace. He said it's the power of God There's no other power. Any other gospel has no power. The Bible says, let that man be accursed. Paul stated it in Galatians chapter 1. If he preaches any other gospel, even if an angel from heaven brings to you any other gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be cut off from God. It would be better that they're cut off from God so that they don't deceive many, right? And it's the cross of Christ, the finished cross work of Jesus Christ. I will not be moved off of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will not be swayed to believe something else. I will stand in and on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he die for my sins? He was buried and he arose again the third day for my justification. And he needs nothing from my flesh to improve upon that gospel. And when you say so, that your work now needs to be added to the cross of Christ, what you're telling Almighty God is he wasn't wise when he put Christ on the cross. He wasn't wise when he buried him with your sins. He wasn't wise when he raised him from the dead. What you're telling God is that what Christ did was not finished. It was not enough. And now you need to add, I'll not do it. I'll not do it. And I'll not set under preachers and teachers who do it. All right. I'm nobody. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But I stand in and stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, I say this. As I was saying to my wife, preaching another gospel has led more people to hell than any drug, any bar room, any honky-tonk that's out there. Preaching erroneous doctrines, man-made doctrines. Preaching gospels that have been made up by men. Preaching gospels that have cliches and wisdom of some man who wrote a book outside of the Bible. It's led people to hell. We're going to keep the gospel simple. Like us, don't like us. We're going to keep it as God has it. He died for our sins, buried and raised again the third day. He raised Christ up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That you, when you believe the gospel of your salvation, you're entitled to everything that Jesus Christ has. Look at, and one last verse in closing today. Look at Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. I once heard a man who I never heard preach the gospel, had a large church, large assembly. He said the problem with America is they'd never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I agreed with him that he's right. And he was part of the problem because he was still one of those saying a prayer after me, getting on your knees, begging Jesus to save you. Can I tell you that God's already done everything it would take to save the world? All he needs is the world to believe it by faith and receive it by faith and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. What more can you ask for? It's grace, folks. He's given it to us. He's done it for us. It's complete. Grace says it's done. Religion says work for it. Watch here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, and we're going to close out today. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely, don't take the word freely out, give us all things. That's all things spiritual. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I pray that you have believed the gospel. I pray that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray that you share this video with someone who may be lost in darkness. Maybe they're saved and they've never come to the knowledge of the truth. But get the gospel into them. They need that worse than they need anything else in life. Until next time, this is Brother Donnie saying, grace and peace. God bless you.